Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. We are eager to offer amazingly competitive prices, plus an additional $1,000 Costco discount on all new Cherry Hill Volvos. When leasing or purchasing a new or certified Cherry Hill Volvo, you become a valued part of our team. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. Our team thanks you for downloading the Rich Scioli podcast. Relationships matter to all of us. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we will work to gain your trust, your confidence, and in turn, develop a relationship with you, the Rich Scioli listener.
60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Scioli podcast.
Joe Biden is the presumptive Democrat frontrunner, and he says he's from Scranton. Well, President Trump is coming to Scranton tonight for a Fox News town hall. Joe Biden hasn't been in Scranton in the last 72 years. Welcome back to the show. Glad you are here. The Scioli Show on Twitter at Rich Scioli and Facebook.com/Scioli Show. I want to give props to a buddy on Twitter, Bo James, who says, so predictable. The media is going to start talking about Bernie like they talk about Trump now. There will likely be a Bernie sexual assault accusation coming. I like to make predictions, too. He was referencing the Savannah Guthrie interview because he made a prediction beforehand that Savannah, who was very, very critical of Joe Biden a week ago, would be giving him a puff piece interview. And that's exactly what happened this morning on the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Joe Biden. And this is what happens with the media. You know, they decided it seemed like when Joe Biden was the walking dead, they wanted to get him out of the way for Bloomberg. Whatever changed. And now they all love the guy. And now they have to get rid of Bernie. So they follow their marching orders, and that's the way it goes. And this is because you have a lot of these media companies are owned by these big conglomerates, and they have political interests, and there you go. Now, let me just say that Joe Biden, in that interview with Savannah Guthrie, that was an edited interview on the Today Show. And that was, so we don't know if there were gaffes made. We don't know anything like that. We don't know that. And a lot of it was puff about whether or not he needs security because somebody rushed the stage and his brave wife fended them off. And that was to make him look good and make him look like an average guy and a regular guy. It was all scripted and it was all BS. But Joe Biden's going to have to answer for some comments he made in the past. Now, Greg, when you get a chance, pull up those old cuts of Biden from like a month ago, the old cuts from when Joe Biden was asked about what he said to learn to code, bro, and the answer to the hundreds of thousands of jobs.
Which one would you like to hear first? Well, it's a dealer's choice.
Listen, as the executive producer / corporate show, why don't you decide?
Okay, let's do the hundreds of thousands of blue collar jobs for green jobs when he was asked about this at a town hall a few months ago.
Three consecutive American presidents have enjoyed stints of explosive economic growth due to a boom in oil and natural gas production. As president, would you be willing to sacrifice some of that growth, even knowing potentially that it could displace thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of blue-collar workers in the interest of transitioning to that greener economy?
The answer is yes. The answer is yes, because the opportunity for those workers to transition to high-paying jobs.
You know what? Here's the thing. The commercial that's going to run in Pennsylvania is just that. And it's going to end with the answer is yes. And then it's going to get grainy and it's going to say thousands of jobs to be lost. And then good luck. Good luck. Nobody who has a job wants to hear, "Yay, listen, you're going to lose your job. But good news, we're going to teach you how to learn to code." So don't sweat it. You got kids. You're up a little night, anxious about your bills. Well, guess what? I am going to take away your job, but going to teach you how to code, bro. So it's all good.
Vice President Biden, you suggest that American fossil fuel workers learn how to code. What do you say to many of the baby boomer generation who are too young to retire but feel that they are too old to embrace drastic career change at this stage in their life?
What I say is that we're going to provide significant opportunities. We're going to create 6 million new jobs. For example, if you are the IBEW just endorsed me today, the International Brotherhood of Electric Workers, they're going to be affected by moving in the direction of getting to net zero emissions. But every new plan we have for infrastructure has to be green. For example, we're going to be able to place 500,000 charging stations along every new highway we build. We can afford to do that, and it's easy. We're going to own the electric vehicle market. We're going to
stop. Does anybody want to drive around and see all these charging stations? And we get naming rights for the charging station, sponsorship opportunities. All these cars lined up on the highway at charging stations.
Only if it's a Zeoli charging station, then I'll be for it.
What does it take, like 3 hours to charge your car or something like that?
Go shopping. That helps the economy. It's the excuse. Go to the outlets.
I mean, just along the highway, all these cars pulled over charging like a scene from The Walking Dead and some guy on horseback galloping through.
So usually from Philly to New York, it's about a 2 hour drive, depending on traffic. This time it'll take 6.5 hours.
No.
You'll have all these cars on the New Jersey Turnpike just pulled over, charging their cars. The stupidest idea. Yes, Dawn.
In Philly, you get a free parking spot, though. If you have the charging station, it's free. That's pretty cool.
Well, that is cool. I agree. That is cool. Well, but will I get free tolls on the Jersey Turnpike if I have my electric vehicle?
No.
Hey, kids, got to pull over for 2.5 hours. Daddy's got to charge the car.
That should be easy, right?
Yeah. That'll be great.
Yeah.
It'll be awesome with two kids, a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a newborn baby.
Yeah.
We're going to just pull over for 3 hours
while
Daddy charges
movie.
The car. Yeah.
I don't
All
know.
Good.
My husband has a Prius. That thing goes forever. And then he runs out of gas. It's so embarrassing because he's so used to not getting gas, you know?
Your husband would be so mad you just outed him for having a Prius right now in front of the largest morning show in radio history.
He drives a lot.
But I think the Prius, though, is not even, like, that's out now, right? Yeah, the hybrids are done. They want now just pure electric vehicles.
Yeah, that's
right?
True. This is true.
Yeah, hybrids are, as long as it is gasoline, that's evil. They're still evil.
Oh, okay.
So you the hybrid drivers out there with your Bernie stickers on, they still don't, you're not, that's not woke enough. No, you got to have the pure electric vehicle. So,
I just looked up how long it takes to charge a Tesla.
Right.
And it takes anywhere from an hour to 12 hours.
12 hours.
To charge your Tesla.
Now, some people with Teslas will have a home charging station at their house. And that's all well and good.
Sure.
How many miles do you get with a Tesla? How many drivable miles do you get before the battery runs out?
Great question. I'm looking that up right now.
So you
1 hour is when you're at 99% battery, Bill. What does that mean?
Like, my joke is that it's a joke. Like, if the battery on the Tesla is at 99%, it takes an hour to get up to 100%.
Oh, like with your phone?
Yeah.
When is it getting to 100?
So the 12 hours is probably when it's at 2%.
Well, how long does it take for a Tesla to how many miles can you go with a full charge?
So it looks like capable of driving 335 miles on a single charge. So That's basically what I have a RAV4. That's basically what that gets.
Okay.
Tank of gas.
It takes 10 minutes to fill up your tank with gas. You can run and
Not
get
even.
A sandwich,
yeah.
right? Smoke a cigarette, take the dog for a walk. 3 hours to charge that freaking vehicle with the kids in the car on the side of the turnpike. On the side of the turnpike. Yeah, that works out well for everybody.
Yeah.
That's good.
Maybe we'll be like Europe, you know, where they do like a siesta. So we'll have like a battery force.
Everybody can nap.
Yeah, we'll just nap from like 11 to 2.
Oh, my God. I can't even believe this is happening right
times.
Now. I can't even believe this is happening right now. Range is 330 miles, says Noel. And by the way, JJ says, Prius, who wears the pants in that family?
Oh.
Ouch.
Fighting words, JJ. Fighting words, man.
Wow.
Fighting words. All right, now.
So if you forget to charge it overnight, you're screwed, right?
If you're going a long distance, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Because you have to pull over and charge your battery. So be like, listen, I'll be there for the 9 a.m. meeting. I'm going to leave now so I can drive. I got to leave. I got to allocate charging time.
Yeah.
And then continuing to drive time.
Yes.
So that's great if you're a business guy and you got to have a meeting. I'll drive and I'll plan to charge in this town and I'll have a meeting with some. Oh, wait, there's no charging station in that town. Oh, the charging station's booked.
Yeah.
Oh, the charging station's broken. How does all that work out, by the way? How does that work? when you pull up to the charge your car and there's somebody else there charging. Now I got to wait for that guy to charge.
You're going to have like 20, violence.
24 hours.
24 hours to get to D.C. 24 hours. I could walk there. Take a stagecoach.
Remember when you first got your license, how excited you were for the road trips? It's like, let's drive to North Carolina. Let's drive here. Like, literally you're taking, like, what used to take 10 minutes is now going to take 12 hours.
It's like the Oregon Trail. Yeah. People are going to be dying of dysentery in your car. That's what's going to happen. All right, keep playing this idiotic cut from Biden, please.
Sorry. Yes.
We're going to create millions of jobs, millions of jobs. We're going to invest, for example, we have a circumstance where we invest more money in new technologies that, in fact, will get us to net zero emissions than we spent sending the man to the moon. We should become the net exporters of this technology. In addition, the next president of the United States not only has to deal with whether or not you're going to get to net zero and have a plan, we make up 15% of the world's problems, and we have to demonstrate we are part of the solution, a significant part. But 85% of the pollution that we deal with comes from the rest of the world. And so I was part of putting together the Paris Climate Accord. I would immediately rejoin it, and I would immediately bring in the single biggest polluters in the first 100 days to the United States and say, we have to up the ante in how we move forward. And we will create significant jobs. The transition will be made for people who, in fact, are in the business now, and the fossil fuel business as well, to be able to move to other incomes that can make a significant amount of money that they're making, but it takes some retraining. It's going to have to happen.
Yeah, learn to code. I believe he said at another point too, don't tell me that people that work in coal mines can't figure out how to program a computer or something like that. When you run for president of the United States on a you are going to lose your job platform, you are not going to win. You can't. I'm sorry, but he's already said too many things that are going to make him absolutely unacceptable for working class voters in the key Rust Belt swing states. They don't want to hear that I'm going to lose my job. Think about how many people stay up late at night figuring out how they're going to make it to the end of the month, pay all their bills. They got kids. They got college. They can't afford to lose their job and get retrained and learn to code. And he even said it's going to take some time. There's going to have to be retraining. So are they going to get paid during that retraining? Who is that? Will they get paid the same salary as they're being retrained? I mean, how does all that work exactly? And then how expensive is that going to be? What is that going to be the cost to the economy is my question. This is insane. 855-839-1210. Let's see here now. The president was asked. He was talking to Sean Hannity last night. He was on the phone with him on a show. And the president said Biden's Ukraine dealings are absolutely in play in this campaign. Cut 10.
Well, to show you how crazy it is, it's not a campaign issue for the Democrats. They don't want to bring it up. They were obviously told you can't bring that up. So even people that are against, if you look at Joe, they're against Joe. They don't want to bring that up. That was off bounds. I watch certain reporters say that this is totally unsubstantiated and we're sorry to even ask you a question. Anderson Cooper, then he asks a question at one of the debates and it was so mild and a ridiculous answer is given because there is no answer to it. Of course, it's corrupt. And so he gives a really bad answer. And they go into the next question. Nobody says anything. The other people that are running, trying to beat him, don't bring it up. That wouldn't happen with the Republicans, I can tell you. I'm not saying good, bad, or indifferent, but that certainly wouldn't happen with the Republicans. And, you know, it's incredible. That will be a major issue in the campaign. I will bring that up all the time because I don't see any way out. I don't see any way out. For them, I don't see how they can answer those questions. And maybe they can. I hope they can. I'd actually prefer it that they can, but I don't believe they'll be able to answer those questions. That was purely corrupt.
I'm glad that the president said that. There's a story today on the Daily Wire about this. It's about Hunter Biden. And it says, Hunter Biden touted connections in 2019 while pitching UCLA law and letting him teach a drug policy course. All of this stuff with Biden and Ukraine is going to come out. That's why I was predicting that Biden was not going to be the nominee. Because how could Democrats be this stupid to nominate a guy who's a gaffe machine who has all of this Ukraine baggage? That's why I say something else is in the works here. Something else is going on behind the scenes because this all happened way too quickly. This all happened way too fast. Everybody, this just happened the way it occurred. And I'm telling you right now, there's more to this. I actually agree with Bernie Sanders on this point. He talked about the corporate media, all right? The corporate media. And there's no doubt that corporations run the media, obviously. And there's no doubt that those corporations have stocks and they have stock holders and they have share prices. And there's no doubts that Bernie Sanders was terrifying the market. And when they realized Bernie Sanders was not going to win, the markets reacted favorably, which is good. But Bernie's right in the sense that they all have their marching orders. You know, they all have their marching orders and they say the same things. And when the word got out to destroy Bernie, the word got out, they did it. It was like when the word was out to destroy Joe Biden, they were all destroying Joe Biden, right? Then suddenly now now we love Joe Biden. Now we'll give him softball interviews. And it's destroyed Bernie Sanders because he's going to hurt our share price, so go after him. And they do. They all just dutifully do it. Whether it's MSNBC or it's NBC, the Today Show, or it's Good Morning America, they all have owners, and they all are pledged to shareholders. That's how it works. That's how it works. I get it. Look, it's a system. It's not going to change. I'm not decrying it in that sense. I'm just saying that when you hear the media now in love with Joe Biden, remember where they were a week ago. Just remember where they were a week ago, declaring the guy the walking dead. The difference is that I declared him the walking dead, and I'm still declaring him the walking dead. That's the difference with me and them. But this is Bernie on corporate media, cut 4.
Our campaign is unprecedented because there has never been a campaign in recent history that has taken on the entire corporate establishment. And I'm talking about Wall Street, and I'm talking about the insurance companies and the drug companies and the fossil fuel industry. There has been never a campaign in recent history which has taken on the entire political establishment. And that is an establishment which is working frantically to try to defeat us. And there's not been a campaign, I think, that has been having to deal with the kind of venom we're seeing from some in the corporate media. This campaign has been compared to the coronavirus on television. We have been described as the Nazi army marching across France.
By the way, when was this campaign compared to the coronavirus?
I don't know.
We got to find that.
When I was when I heard this, I was searching for that, and I couldn't find what he was talking about.
That I got to find that out. And his campaign was compared to the coronavirus. Now, the point about the Nazis marching, it's true. That's what Chris Matthews said.
Yes.
said about him. Compared it to Hitler invading Poland, I believe, is what he said.
Yes, he did. The brown shirts or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And that is an establishment which is working frantically to try to defeat us. And there's not been a campaign, I think, that has been having to deal with the kind of venom we're seeing from some in the corporate media. This campaign has been compared to the coronavirus on television. We have been described as the Nazi army marching across France, etc., etc.
etc.
As we come into the last several months of this campaign, what I hope very much is that what we can focus on is an issue-oriented campaign which deals with the concerns of the American people. As some of you may recall, the last debate that took place really was, I think, insulting to the American people. It was a food fight. It was about who could yell the loudest. That's not what the American people want. They want a serious debate on serious issues.
Well, he's right that the corporate media had their marching orders, and there's no doubt about that. Yes.
Somebody just texted me. I believe it was a certain CNN host that compared him to the coronavirus.
Chris Cuomo, the lesser?
No, it's somebody who has a weekend CNN show.
A weekend CNN show. Let's go through the list of weekend CNN hosts.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Let's see.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
My weekend CNN lineup. let me ask this question.
Might have a beautiful mainline home.
I have a beautiful mainline home. I'd have a beautiful shiny head. Do we have audio of this by chance?
I'm searching it right now.
Thank you very
beautiful
much.
Beautiful wife named Lavinia.
I have to. Oh, jeez. I have to make sure that.
Don't bring the wife into it, will you? Come on, easy.
I like her.
I know, but
I have to make sure that this is accurate.
Yeah, we have to fact check first, obviously. And this is true. In the meantime, as you're looking for that, I will take a call. I will take a call because, let's see, Gabrielle is in Lanenburg, PA. Good morning.
Good morning. I just want to make a comment on what you had said before about Joe Biden not being the middle-of-the-road guy, that he's really far more progressive. And I totally agree with that. I think he's so, quote-unquote, gaffe-prone. He's so not with it that he'll be a figurehead, in my opinion, and surround himself with people who are the AOC types who are going to go and just push their agenda through while he's sort of appearing to be mainstream, but he can't handle it. I don't think he has the mental stability anymore.
Well, there's no doubt that you're correct on the point that Joe Biden is not a moderate, and that's something that has to get out there. And his positions on things, his policy positions, have been very, very extreme. You're right about that point. There's no question about it. So hopefully that'll be exposed in due time.
I totally agree that his positions are not moderate, because when he tries to sound moderate, he doesn't really he tends to stumble more. But that clip that you just played for him saying that he's going to lose all these jobs, he seemed pretty confident about that. So I think in his heart of hearts, that's what he truly believes. And then when he's
I'm going to go through some of these specifics. And Gabrielle, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I'm going to go through some of the specifics of this in this Reason.com piece when I get to it. Joe Biden is a classic big government liberal, and I'll get some specifics on that for you. 855-839-1210.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Before I get to the CNN weekend host, whose name escapes me because I don't know my weekend lineup on CNN, let me first go to Rick in Pottstown, who's patiently holding. Good morning, Rick.
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
Good, Rick. What's up? Hello? Hello, Rick. Where are you? Where'd you go? All right, Rick, if you are...
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay.
How you doing?
Good. How are you? What's up?
Listen, you know, the biggest thing that I'm having a problem with is this media hype. My daughter was studying abroad in Italy, you know, in Florence. And, you know, then next thing you know, they sit there and the media just hypes this thing up. CDC hypes the thing up. And next thing you know, I got to evacuate my daughter out of there. And she loses now her entire semester over there because of this freaking thing. And, you know, I'm just like, you know, they want to, you know, it's all the against Trump, this and that. We're going to take down the markets. We're going to do this, do that. But, you know, do they really think that, you know, hurting the regular people that they claim that they're for, you know?
As a dad, you would want your daughter to stay in Italy, even though there's this outbreak, and considering how Europe
because the outbreak was in Lombardy, which was 300 miles north of her. She's in Florence. There was one case to the point where it was when she got evacuated. That one case was already a week and a half after it was reported.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this question. Doesn't Europe concern you, given the open borders, the fact that anybody can get in and out of there? And there's doesn't that raise a red flag?
I view that.
I understand where she's at now, but I'm saying to you in the future, I'm saying down the road. See, my concern as a dad would be, given that Europe has open borders, you can't track who's coming in. You can't stop people from coming in. That would be my concern. I think your daughter's better off in the United States, to be honest with you.
My concern was bringing her through three international airports on the way back, to where that's a petri dish of who knows who's been through there in the last week and what are their, you know, sanitary, you know, procedures and things like that, to where I'm bringing her through areas of real unknowns.
I disagree with that. I think you're better off having her back here, in my opinion, than in Europe because of the border issue there. But look, you know, that's her dad. It's your opinion, and I respect it, and have a great day, and I'm glad she's safe. 855-839-1210. All right, so the question of whether or not something was said regarding Bernie Sanders and coronavirus, speaking of coronavirus and the panic. And look, I understand completely the issue of it being overplayed. I'm not doubting that, but I truly believe that one of the things about the United States, the reason why we don't have to panic in the United States of America, is because we do have a better system than other countries around the world of knowing who's coming in and who's coming out. and being able to monitor that better. And that's a problem in Europe. That's a big problem in Europe. And so, you know, everybody's got to make their own decisions. And I'm not saying don't go to Europe. I'm just saying that just you have to factor that in. That's one of the things that is a real issue with whether it's, you know, this virus or something else. Europe has been very proud of the fact that they have open borders among their countries and the European Union. It's one of the things they bragged about. You can't close them if there's a crisis. It's very difficult to do that. And it's very difficult to be able to then monitor who's going in and out. And that's something the United States of America doesn't have to worry about, thank God. And one of the reasons against why I'm against open borders for that reason as well. And one of the reasons I've also said, by the way, we should take a look at our southern border because, you know, that's still a very porous border and people can come in and out. And if this does become a global pandemic, the first thing you got to do is to make sure, like the president did early on, people are not coming here from China where it's ground zero and other places and expanding that ban accordingly if it spreads in other countries. But it's not a myth that it's a crisis in China. It's not a myth that it's spreading in Europe. It's just not here, thank God. So, you know, I think that's one of the reasons. If you are somebody who's for making sure that we have very, very strict borders in place that are safe, we know who's coming in and out of our country. This is another case where you're right, because that's one of the things when it comes to containment of a virus like this. But how you contain a campaign like Bernie Sanders, that is the coronavirus, I don't know. I don't know if there's a border to stop that. Yes.
Can I set this up real fast?
Because, you can.
So the issue that's being taken here is it's a 2-minute clip. The way the host sets it up and then the banner that's on underneath it, because he sets it up one way and then the banner with the way he sets it up is underneath the whole thing, but it goes into a coronavirus thing. So the way he sets it up, I guess, is what they're taking issue with. Would you like to hear it?
Sure. Have we identified the name of this CNN weekend anchor yet?
Well,
you'll recognize his voice.
Okay. Well,
he says it himself.
Oh, okay.
Can either coronavirus or Bernie Sanders be stopped? I'm Michael Smirkanish in Philadelphia. An already unpredictable presidential campaign just became more so.
Can either coronavirus or Bernie Sanders be stopped?
So then he goes into a whole 2-minute thing on the coronavirus and the administration's handling it. But the entire time he does it, there is a banner underneath the...
A Chiron, right, Dawn? A Chiron?
Chiron.
Yeah, Chiron.
It's a Chiron.
It says, can either coronavirus or Bernie Sanders be stopped? Now, this was over the weekend. This was on February 29th. And to be fair... a CNN spokesperson tells Mediaite the banner was wholly inappropriate and a mistake, and we are addressing internally.
So what did the banner say, the Chiron?
Can either coronavirus or Bernie Sanders be stopped is how it was set up and how the entire segment had that Chiron.
Okay, now, CNN plays where? Airports.
Airports, yeah.
Where do people get freaked out most about viruses?
Airports.
So you're walking through the airport, you see this Chiron. Can either coronavirus or Bernie Sanders be stopped?
Luckily, Richard.
Oh my God, can I cancel my flight? No wonder why people are canceling flights and panicking.
Luckily, Rich, nobody travels on Saturday mornings. I've never seen...
No, nobody. That's true, Greg. It's a very good point.
Time.
Yes, a good point. Monday through Friday is the only travel that is done. You're very
virus
good point. Excellent.
Or can either coronavirus or Bernie Sanders be stopped?
Bill, add that to the drop, please.
Absolutely.
That's whenever I get this system up and running, I'm going to be playing that.
They're going to call it the
Boom.
Feel the Burn vaccine.
Oh, my God. Feel the Burn vaccine.
Feel the Burn vaccine.
Bernie,
Oh, man. Man. By the way, I'm gonna 2/3 of Americans would turn down a free cruise amid coronavirus outbreak.
Really?
Yeah. I want to ask you if you would turn that down.
I would not turn down a free cruise.
Please.
I would not.
You, the biggest germaphobe, sanitized.
Because I've got it under control. Like, I would be able to manage it because I've conditioned myself like over so many years. You know what I mean?
But if one person gets sick on that cruise ship, the entire cruise ship has to be quarantined. So you got to stay on that thing for 3 friggin' weeks.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
See, you got to do it strategically so that if somebody seems like they're getting sick, you got to be on your excursion ashore. You can't be out to sea.
So then you don't get back on the boat.
Right.
The ship.
So you don't get stuck.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And to the point
if that poor bastard has the virus on your excursion. And then your whole little excursion's quarantined in the Dominican Republic for 2 weeks or something like that.
Oh, that would be
That'd be
horrible.
Fun, right? with their outstanding medical care? You sure you want to think this through now?
I truthfully, I would take the chance. If it were a free cruise,
if I could bet, if I could legally bet on Dawn Stensland taking a free cruise during the coronavirus outbreak, I would be a millionaire right now because you're so full of it. Come on.
You know, you have to know me. Like
I would take the risk. If the boys were quarantined for 3 weeks,
you'd lose
your mind.
Oh, no, I wouldn't take my kids.
Oh, you wouldn't take your kids.
Just me and Larry.
Oh, all right. Well, that's different.
Larry never gets sick.
Okay.
He's like, you know when they say nuclear war, it'd be the cockroaches and him. That man never gets sick.
And his Prius.
It's because he tries a Prius. I was just going to say.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli. Weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
The question, of course, of whether or not Bernie Sanders can be stopped, I think has been answered. I think it's very obvious now that the Bernie myth is just that, a myth. And but what happened? How did all of this just come about overnight, where suddenly now the guy who was declared dead is now the presumptive Democrat frontrunner? How did this happen? Seemingly overnight is the question. 855-839-1210. And I'm telling you, it's something is at play here because all the corporate media types did all the right things and started praising Joe Biden days after they were burying Joe Biden. All of them, one after another, just like that. And there's no coincidences in life. I tell you that all the time. There's no coincidences in politics. That's very, very true. And I'm just saying that all of a sudden, the guy who was declared dead by the likes of George Stephanopoulos and Savannah Guthrie and on it goes, is suddenly now the darling of those very same people. And it happened overnight. You realize it's Saturday, Joe Biden won the South Carolina primary. But on Thursday, everybody was saying the same thing. It's probably too late. It's too little too late. Joe Biden's over. It's done. Everybody was looking at Bloomberg. And then all of a sudden, everything changed. And then it was all Joe Biden. And everybody jumped on board. And all the candidates were good little boys and girls and got backed and backed Joe Biden. And the rest is history. And so here's my question. If Bernie Sanders' numbers were not what they were in 2016, like in other words, if people were not afraid of Bernie Sanders because the numbers weren't there, what was the need to clear the deck and get behind one candidate so quickly? Here's what I mean. Bernie Sanders is on with Rachel Maddow on MSNBC. This is very important. And she's asking the question about Biden and African-American support, right? But she also says this about turnout, and turnout was not there for you in 2020. Now, this is important because you look at the numbers from Iowa, New Hampshire, and Super Tuesday states. It's very, very obvious Bernie Sanders did not have the same level of support he had in 2016. His argument is there are more people in the race, but that doesn't matter. You know as well as I do, 10 people could announce they're running against Trump for the nomination tomorrow. Donald Trump is still having the same great numbers he has now. So you can't use that as an excuse. You can't say, well, it's either you have the support or you don't. Other people taking your support. It's like saying, well, your husband cheated on you. Yeah, but there are all these women around him. No, it's either he doesn't or he does. It's a matter of, do Bernie voters stay loyal to him or not? And they strayed. They strayed. And that's the point Rachel Maddow makes, cut 14.
You know, I'm going to ask you the follow-up question now about turnout, because as long as I have been talking to you about American politics, you have made this case. And I believe it, that turnout is the difference. Good. And that when it comes to progressive politics in particular, increased turnout gets you an increased shot of not only changing the Democratic Party, but changing the country. And the turnout is not there for you. The turnout does not look good thus far in the Democratic primary. And we could talk about that in detail, but I know you're aware of it.
But let me just say this. In terms of young people, I mean, one of the issues that should be talked about, to his credit, and I wish we could do better, Joe Biden is doing very, very well with people 65 or older. We're not. We're doing phenomenally well with people 30 or under. Now, which group of people is there more potential to grow the base, to bring people in? Clearly, young people historically have not voted in the kinds of numbers that one would like them to vote. It's going up, but it is nowhere near as high as it is with
not,
all the people.
It's not going up. And that's with your campaign.
Yeah, now
right
stop
now,
it. This is important, right? So Bernie's argument is all the Biden supporters are going to die soon, right? They're 65 and older. They're all going to get the coronavirus and die. I think it's basically what Bernie's saying. And he's saying, I've got all the young people. And Rachel Maddow stops him and says, that's not the case. The numbers for you are not going up. It's not materializing. It's not true. It's not real. So, I mean, credit to her for pointing this out to Bernie.
Go ahead. It's not going up. And that's with your campaign right now firing on all cylinders and all the benefit you have from all the amazing organizing you did in 2016. No states last night saw an increase in young voters as a percentage of the electorate compared with 2016. In North Carolina, in Tennessee, in Virginia, even here in Vermont, young voters made up a smaller proportion of the electorate than in 2016. Why are fewer young people turning out in 2020 with you on the ballot?
I mean, what I will tell you is that in Iowa, we increased by 33% the number of young people who are participating. I'm not familiar with these statistics. I really haven't seen them. But it is this is the challenge that we have. We have the lowest voter turnout of almost any major country on earth, less than 60%.
Yeah, you see, now he's trying to make it a global thing.
Poor people in America.
The reality is Bernie's numbers were not there. So why the sudden urge then for everybody to jump on board with Joe Biden and end this thing so quickly? What happened? What changed is my question. 855-839-1210. Lou is in Williamstown. Lou, good morning.
Hey, Rich, how you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Listen, I think Bernie Sanders was too much, too fast for the socialism movement. And I think Barack Obama is a socialist and understands it has to be a long process to get that in place in this country. So he's getting all his people on the Biden camp, and he's pulling all the strings with the corporate people and everybody else, because everybody on the Democrat Party loves Barack Obama. And he is the puppet master right now, and Joe Biden is nothing more than a puppet.
Well, I agree with you. I think you're right about that point. Lou, thanks for the call. Bernie made a similar point about that with African-American voters, by the way. That's all that Joe Biden has when he's running for president, cut 13.
What is going wrong with your campaign when it comes to competing in the South and competing specifically for black voters?
Well, let me just give you the other side of the story, is that in California, if my memory is correct, we received 39% of the votes of people of color, which were Latinos, Asian Americans, and African Americans. If I am not mistaken, I haven't studied these results, we probably won the young people. African-American vote, probably in all of those states.
But in California, you're being well outpaced by Joe Biden among black voters.
Well, we are winning among people of color in a very significant degree.
Let's talk about black voters, though, specifically, because it has been a persistent problem. You knew it was a problem in 2016. It might have cost you the nomination, but it hasn't gotten better.
Yeah, well, we're running against somebody who has touted his relationship with Barack Obama for 8 years. Barack Obama is enormously popular in this country in general and the African-American community. Running against Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton was enormously popular. So I don't think, if you look at some of the national polls, in fact, there have been some polls recently that we were running ahead of Biden in the African-American community. So it's not that I'm not popular. You know, Biden is running, you know, with his ties to Obama, and that's working well.
But let me be specific. I mean, in 2016, you knew that was a problem.
In 2016, we were running against Hillary Clinton. I was virtually unknown.
He always has an excuse.
Now we're running against Barack Obama's vice president, who was very, very popular. What I'm saying to you, Rachel, is that if you look at the polling out there, I am not unpopular in the African-American community.
Are you satisfied with your numbers among African-American voters?
Of course not. We want to do better. We're doing very, very well with the Latino community. We're doing very well with the Asian-American community. And we have to do better. So we're going to try to do better. We have a great group of surrogates who are out there working hard on this thing. I think we will do better. I think the vote in the North will be different than the vote in the South. But, you know,
Bernie's running the campaign of 1860. That great get out the vote model that Lincoln used in that four-way contest to win the presidency of 1860.
He was super annoyed with Rachel, wasn't
he? Oh, man. We're going to write off the South. Focus on the North. Abolition strategy. Rachel, we're going to free the slaves. That's going to be my thing. That's our thing. And it's going to work. Going to work well for us. Sorry.
Oh, God.
That amazing 1860 mindset of Bernie Sanders. I was there when Lincoln used that strategy, and it worked well for him. 855-839-1210. Let's see. Andy's in Marlton. Andy, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Rich.
What's up?
You know, just an observation. If Bernie gets this, he will not want
he will want as many debates as he can possibly get. It would be crazy, and the Democrats will try to stop that, not the Republicans. The Democrats will try to stop it because Bernie believes in it. Now, Joe, on the other hand, Joe is that crazy nuts. The Democrats will not want him to debate. This will be the first time where a challenger, unless, of course, he can bring his wife with him, will decline to have a debate. Wanted to know what your thoughts were on that.
I disagree with you. He can't decline to have a debate with the president. If he qualifies for federal funding, he's got to take a debate.
I'm not that serious. But do you think a debate is going to benefit?
Because I've heard some people being serious about that. So go ahead. Sorry, Andy.
No. I just do not see a benefit in Joe debating anyone. And the Democrat Party will try to limit that because there are only so many times that he can make a fool out of himself. Yeah. As I said, unless he could bring his wife with him.
Well, I agree. She would be better. She could be the surrogate, like a pinch hitter, you know?
One other observation. Yes. Everyone forgets this. Early on, Joe made a comment that he would have a black female as his vice presidential nominee. Now, I don't know how many are out there, but I think at the time he mentioned the candidate for governor of Georgia. And she basically said, maybe I'll have him run as my VP.
Right.
I'm wondering when somebody's going to bring that up. Who is going to be, it'll have to be a young black woman, someone that will be able to survive him in office when he's declared incompetent about 3 months in.
Right, when they invoke the 25th Amendment against him. Andy, thanks
That's
for the
it.
Call. I appreciate it. But yeah, look, that's why I said, and I'm not predicting it's going to be Michelle Obama. I'm just saying. There's a lot of very strange things going on politically I have not seen in my lifetime. And Barack Obama's behind all of it, according to the nonpartisan writers at Politico. These are not, it's not Breitbart, it's not Alex Jones. What Politico has been writing about is Barack Obama's been pulling the levers behind the scenes on everything. Michelle Obama has a big rally in Detroit at the end of the month. There was just this poll that was done in California. She won in terms of being who's the likely VP pick for Democrat voters. I'm just saying. There's a lot of very funny things going on. I'm not predicting she's going to be the VP. I'm just saying that things are strange. That's all. Things are strange. 855-839-1210. I want to tell you about something very, very special that's going on tomorrow, and I'm going to do that in just a second.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Now, tomorrow is our USO Radiothon. Now, Greg, are we doing content on the show tomorrow?
Yes, we'll weave in content, and then we'll have some great interviews with USO, and we want people to be able to donate all day to our USO Radiothon.
Okay, so let's save the Lesser Cuomo interviewing his brother, the governor of New York, for tomorrow.
Okay, we can do that.
I think that'd be great, the Lesser interviewing his brother.
Yeah, yes. I think you're going to... So nothing really interesting is said, but if you the way Cuomo sets it up, I think you're going to have a field day with.
OK,
just so you know.
Fantastic. Don't tell me.
OK,
don't tell me. And also then tomorrow we can discuss more things like whether or not you should lick envelopes.
No, I don't. No, what?
Campbell's Soup, by the way, sees more demand from soup stockpiling. Now, legally, I have to say that my wife works there, but I just want to point this out from the Wall Street Journal. The coronavirus epidemic will likely boost sales after a strong quarter for the food maker. Campbell's Soup Company, the soup giant, which also sells crackers, cookies, nuts, and other dry goods, said Wednesday that retailers are also buying more of its less popular items like SpaghettiOs and Swanson canned chicken. SpaghettiOs, baby.
That's right.
Still more authentic than the Olive Garden. Now, Chief Executive Mark Klaus said in an interview, we made the decision last week to produce more than we had where we had the flexibility to strengthen inventory levels. So the Campbell's Soup inventory levels are going up. And their shares were down. They jumped up 10% on Wednesday. And so now this is the Wall Street Journal writing this. Now, Campbell's has exceeded expectations on this and snack business and everything else. Now, and they posted a profit on Wednesday of $1.21 billion, or $3.97 a share, compared with a loss a year ago. Okay, now this is my point. I have three kids, so I want to say this, and I mean this: the coronavirus is going to kill us all. So you should stock up on soup. Do it now.
No,
you're not going to have any. You need this because we're all going to die, right? I don't want to scare anybody, but we're all going to die. So please go buy lots and lots of soup, particularly chunky. I like the chunky and the
Of course, you're not serious.
Of course, I'm not serious. You're saying it looks bad. Everybody's going to die. You might need some soup.
You have kids
and crackers. I got kids to feed. Listen, I got kids to feed, and I'm just saying Goldfish crackers have a long shelf life. Well, yes, Dawn, what?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing, honey.
I got an email yesterday from somebody from Japan, Dawn. You'll appreciate this.
Oh.
No, sir, true story. And he's a fan of the show, and he listens in Japan, and he was explaining the rationale for stockpiling, and he was saying why you should do it, and the reason why is because if there is an outbreak, then what's going to happen is people will all be out in grocery stores. You don't want that to happen, so you want to buy stuff ahead of time. This way, you don't have that problem. You see, that was his point as he listens in Japan. So thank you for that. And this check-in on social media, by the way, brought to you by our great friends at Cherry Hill Vava, where relationships matter, and they really do matter. And that's why we appreciate you reaching out to us on social media and through email. He wrote, great show, listening from Tokyo, where the coronavirus reaction is pretty bad now. People are stocking up because they're worried the government might quarantine everyone, and they don't want to be waiting in long coronavirus-infected lines to get food. Also, stocking up means you don't have to go out as much, reducing exposure to others. Tokyo apartments are tiny. Space is a premium, and people are still stocking up. Every economy here is taking a hit, by the way. The local curry restaurant foot traffic was down $4,000 last month. They're struggling now to pay staff. Hope this is insightful. Aaron. Thank you, Aaron. We are international now, Dawn.
Wow.
The show is now officially international.
Cool.
Is the only army in Tokyo. Yeah, we've taken over Japan like we did at the end of World War II.
That's a terrible analogy.
Terrible. I watched too many movies.
So in the last 3 minutes,
yes.
You hawked your wife's products, and
right.
you've referenced Hiroshima.
I am referencing
Nagasaki.
A local company in our area and a Wall Street Journal story. I didn't write it. Campbell sees more demand from soup stockpiling. Coronavirus epidemic will likely boost sales after a strong quarter for the food maker. I'm simply saying
it's not appropriate.
We're all going to die, and you should buy lots of canned goods.
Of course, you're joking.
Well, canned goods are always good to have.
Well, thank you, Dawn.
And then the reason you like to stock up, because even if you have too many, then you just give them like to the food pantry when they have the, you know, a church and they
exactly.
have
exactly there. You see, Dawn, that's everybody wins, Dawn. Everybody wins, and nobody dies. Nobody
just
dies
donate
in that,
them if you
in
don't
that,
use
in that
them.
Situation.
Can I get us out of this by changing this topic first?
Go ahead.
The hot off the presses Megaphone Bernie t-shirts.
Yes.
Ooh.
I just tweeted out. We have them in now. I just tweeted them out. They will be available tomorrow starting at 6 a.m. for Liberty USO donations.
Wonderful.
So we will give you all the details tomorrow, but they're exclusive and they will only be available to people who donate to the Liberty USO tomorrow.
See that? Now, there's something else going on tomorrow. I would love for you to do this as well. I saw this on Twitter. This is a war hero, and this is the headline. The family of a Korean War veteran can't attend his funeral. It's now open to the public. If you're in Delaware tomorrow, in Dunleith, Delaware, there is a it says here, affordable new homes in Dunleith were marketed to African-American veterans returning from the war. 70 years later, the neighborhood's lost its identity. Blah, blah, blah. Multiple veterans groups in Delaware asking the general public to attend a funeral service for a Korean War veteran who died in late January. Alistair Barker, 94 years old, served 4 years in the U.S. Army, including a stint in Korea, after immigrating to the U.S. from Trinidad. His nearest family lives in Georgia and will be unable to attend the service. The unaccompanied funeral will be held tomorrow. Oh, shoot. It's Thursday. Oh, no. I'm sorry. James Woods, the actor, tweeted this out a few moments ago, but I didn't realize that it already happened. Oh, well. Oh, shoot. Okay.
You missed it.
Missed it. But that's nice that they were going to do this for him. I wanted people to know about it, but he said it was coming up, but it actually happened yesterday. So, all right. Well, today. No, it's today. Today's Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you still have time. Oh, you still have time. All right, so it's 11 o'clock today in Delaware. If you're in Delaware,
yeah, you have time.
You can go and show your respects and pay your respects to this war hero who won't have any family there to see him. It's going to be at the 11 a.m. today at the Delaware Veterans Memorial Cemetery near Glasgow. The Delaware National Guard will be among the organizations in attendance to help honor Barker. Public Affairs official Bernie Kale said, Unaccompanied funerals have grown more common due in part to social media, which enables quicker communication between funeral homes, military organizations, and the public. The Guard, the Wilmington Veterans Area Medical Center, and Delaware's branch of the American Legion were among the organizations posting about the service online yesterday. They sacrificed their lives. They sacrificed their time. The least we can do is come and pay our respects. So this man, who was born in San Fernando, Trinidad, part of the West Indies, immigrated to the United States at 22. 3 years later, he was in Korea as part of the U.S. infantry. An honorable discharge in 1953, returned to New York and then moved to Philadelphia, where he operated a vehicle collision shop. He retired to Bear, Delaware, where he lived until his death. And so this is going on tomorrow for the, or today, I'm sorry, today at 11 a.m. for the hero here, Alistair Barker, 94 years old, who served in the U.S. Army. So if you'd like to go and pay your respects in the area, please do that. That'd be a wonderful thing. And that's why, you know, the USO is so important for things like that. They help our veterans also make sure they have proper funerals and get in touch with their families and things like that as well. So I hope I didn't blow that. I was trying to do something nice, but you know, sometimes you operate on the fly and you know, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, it's 11 o'clock.
Today's 11
a.m. 11 a.m.
today. Today at 11 a.m. Yes. All right. Very, very good. Dawn, good morning. What's cooking today?
Good morning. We have a lot going on today, actually. I've been working on, like, horrible puns for this Journey story. I'll get to that in just a moment.
Okay.
Sorry. So, good morning. 44 degrees. The LA Show News brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo. So, a cruise ship being, we talked about the cruise ships, being held at sea right now after one man in his 70s got sick and actually died. But this was 2 weeks after he got off the ship and got home from his trip in California. The feds are on the ship testing those passengers. And so we want, and California declaring a state of emergency because they have the most cases. So a COVID-19 case in New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy tweeting out that it's a presumptive case. The patient, we're told, a man in his 30s, looks okay for now, is hospitalized, quarantined, but doing well so far. So still has to be officially confirmed by the CDC. The CDC, by the way, reports 159 confirmed COVID-19 cases in the USA with 11 deaths, mostly on the West Coast. And I mentioned Governor Murphy tweeting out. He's tweeting out from his New York City hospital room, where he's recovering nicely, we're told, after successful surgery. Surgeons in New York City removing that kidney tumor. No word if it was cancerous, but they say he's doing well and everything is taken care of. So he'll get back to work, hopefully, within a week or so. Sheila Oliver, Lieutenant Governor, is the acting. Okay, we talked a lot about Campbell's Soup and other companies that are benefiting, right, from stocking up during COVID-19. So environmentally conscious coffee lovers who, you know, how you bring your own mug to buy fresh coffee at Starbucks? Yeah, you can't do that. So Starbucks and other coffee companies are saying, just use our paper cup.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So paper's back now. Disposable
back.
Cups are back in.
Organic
I can't
stuff.
Keep track. I can't keep up.
People are, like, losing the whole organic environment, like, all that's lost during, you know, flu outbreak or a virus.
I said this yesterday. It's worth repeating. There's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole, and there's no such thing as a vegan in a quarantine when there's a food shortage.
Yes.
All right?
So we do have a fishy discovery in Delaware County, Pennsylvania. This is an alligator garfish found in Fenimore Park. So the PA Fish and Boat Commission says this is very fishy. It's normally found in the Gulf of Mexico. So this is a mysterious thing. I know. I thought only in Delco, an alligator fish.
No, it's your puns that we're talking about. That's what we're laughing
about.
Your fish puns.
Well, my bad puns are here to...
Hey, you know what? By the way, speaking of fish, remember when that guy who played Aquaman, his name? Jason whatever his face
Momoa,
is? Right.
Whatever.
He lectured Chris Pratt for bringing a water bottle to the gym. Remember that? Bringing a disposable water bottle. He's like, hey, bro, what are you doing? Well, I guess now we can't bring those things anymore. Like, we have to use disposable because if we bring our own cups...
Right.
We could be spreading coronavirus.
Right.
So now, let me understand the new rules now. Now we're back to throwing things out now. I can't keep track with this.
No, that's exactly right.
All right.
All right. Fans say they don't want to stop believing, despite their favorite 80s band is going its separate ways. Journey's leader, Neil Schoen, sending his bass player and drummer on their separate ways for allegedly trying to hijack the group's name in a scheme that's landed them all in court. So who's crying now? This is Journey.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Journey. 80s.
Yeah,
Greg
I know we
Stocker.
Got it. Yeah, yep, we got it.
So lead guitarist Neil, he's a founding member, keyboard member Jonathan Cain. They're suing, you know, this is a longtime band. My goodness, they're suing their longtime bassist Russ Valerie and the drummer Steve Smith, claiming these guys tried to take control of the band's corporation called Nightmare Productions. Mm. So you may recall Perry left the group for good in the late 90s.
I've said this before. At some point when the band has no longer a majority of original band members in it anymore, it's no longer called Journey.
Amen.
This is a cover band. It's a Journey cover band is what we're talking about right now. Thank you.
100%.
Thank you.
Well, they're scheduled to tour this summer with the Pretenders. So.
Well, they are the Pretenders. They're pretending to be Journey. So what do you want?
Maybe they'll have open auditions.
I mean, look, you just can't call yourself a band and then just go play their songs. It's a cover band.
Yeah, their lead singer was literally, they got him from YouTube because he was in a Journey cover band and he sounded like Steve Perry. So they literally, like, it's literally a cover band because, I don't know, there's two or three original members.
See?
I love it.
All right.
All right, I'm going to go right to weather because we're running out of time here. So it's going to be nice today. Sunny, 53 degrees. Tomorrow, 48, but it's going to rain. Get to Chickies and Pete's tomorrow for the USO thing if you're headed over. Get there before 2 o'clock. Try to get there before because that's when it starts to rain a little bit. Not a lot of rain, but just going to drizzle. So, and then the weekend.
We're back on the air 3 to 6.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So make sure you're
Come on, let's
place.
Get through this. Come all on. Right, the weather's going to change by tomorrow.
And then the weekend looks sunny. The lesser day is Saturday, 60 degrees and sunny by Sunday. Okay?
All right, thank you.
Cherry Hill Volvo, the place where relationships really do matter.
Excuse me.
Okay. Zioli's got a Volvo. What more can I say? Cherry Hill Volvo, so proud. They're good. Okay? So enjoy the luxury shopping experience you deserve when buying a luxury vehicle. They'd love to meet you. Seriously, stop by today. I'm Dawn Zioli, Show News. That's it.
Thank you, Dawn. Well done. Excellent job. What a journey that was. Now, I have time for this. Joe Biden busted as a colossal liar. This is a little flashback. Where is this from, Greg, this flashback?
I got off Twitter. Breaking 911 had it, but it's a montage of when he pretended that he was, you know, topping his class or something. And these are old news reports from, like, the early 90s with Sam Donaldson.
All right.
The new questions stem from taped remarks of Biden during an April campaign appearance in New Hampshire.
I went to law school on a full academic scholarship, the only one in my class to have a full academic scholarship. Went back to law school and, in fact, ended up in the top half of my class. I was the outstanding student in the political science department at the end of my year. I graduated with 3 degrees from undergraduate school and 165 credits, only needed 123 credits.
Biden now concedes he did not graduate in the top half of his law school class, that he does not have 3 degrees from college, and that he was not named outstanding political science student in college.
Newsweek says Biden actually went to school on a half scholarship, ended up near the bottom of his class, and won only 1 degree. Degree, not 3.
Joe Biden ranked 76th in a class of 85 at the University of Syracuse Law School. I mean, this guy comes off this whole thing as a flyweight.
Now Biden says Newsweek is right.
By the way, Joe Biden also said he was the lead singer for Journey.
No, that's not true. I don't know.
True story. Look it up.
Touring with the Pretenders this summer.
855-839-1210. But Joe Biden is no moderate, as I will share with you this great piece from Reason.com when I get back. He's a classic big government liberal. You're going to want to hear this and your thoughts as well on all these matters. 855-839-1210.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.